Hi, everybody, and welcome to our midweek Bible study. I'm glad to be with you today. Today is Wednesday, November 11th. Hope this finds you and yours doing well. Thanks for joining us today. We're going to continue in our study about finding contentment in the midst of stressful times. Today, we're going to talk about the stress of change. And to help us gain more insight, we're going to be looking at the book of Genesis, first book in the Bible, chapter 12, verses 1 to 5. But before I get there, take a minute and pray with me, will you? Father, thank you for the privilege we have to study your word. Open our hearts and minds to receive the truths that you have for us today and help us to implement them in our lives. I thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. You know, most of us probably look back on our teen years and we think, hey, change is good. But then we get a little older and as an adult, we become more uncertain about change. In fact, change, no matter how small or how large, can be really stressful, no doubt about it. And today we're going to examine the stress fractures and stress factors of change. So let's get to it. I have an opening question to start us off today. Now, I'm sure you've heard the statement, my, how you've changed. Anybody said that to you lately? Maybe you said it to someone, my, how you've changed. Well, looking back over your teen years, what are a couple of things that have changed? Now, for some of you, there might only be just a little bit of years between there, but for some of us, there's a whole lot of years between then and now. But tell me a few things that have changed since you were a teen. Maybe it's your choice of music. Maybe you had a favorite group back then. Now it's a new group today. Maybe the clothes you wear have changed. Well, I think most of us have moved on, but I still love bell-bottom pants. How about your hairstyle? Has it changed much since you were teen? Maybe your favorite reading material. Has that changed? Perhaps the boyfriend-girlfriend status has changed? Maybe a bad habit hopefully has changed. How you treat your parents. Has that changed? Maybe best friends. Have you a new best friend now, or do you still have the same best friend as when you were a teen? As I thought about all those choices and other things, definitely my clothes choices have changed, and I'm glad about that, but I still love bell-bottom pants if I can find them, and those platform shoes, whoo, have mercy. And my hairstyle has changed. In fact, I'm just glad to have a little bit of hair left, you know what I'm saying? There's been a couple of bad habits that have changed as well, but somehow along the line, I've picked up a few new ones. That's not cool. And the list goes on, of course. So let's get to reading the word. Open up the Bibles or Bible apps, Genesis 12, verses 1 to 5. Here we go. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I'll show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you'll be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarai and nephew Lot, with all his wealth, his livestock, all the people that he'd taken into his household in Haran, and headed to the land of Canaan. I want to talk to you for a minute about the certainty of change. You know, we're living in times of unprecedented change. Advances in technology have just exponentially accelerated change in every area of our life. I just read an article recently by futurist Leonard Sweet, who was telling an audience of church leaders that we who are alive today have witnessed the third greatest invention to change learning. Now, the first was the introduction of the Greek alphabet in 8 BC. The second was the invention of Gutenberg's printing press. But what is the third change? What is the third greatest invention that has sparked unprecedented change in our lifetime? I'll bet you already answered it. We use it virtually every day. That's right, the internet. The internet has changed not only learning, but also communication, commercial, economic, medical, and political systems as well. And that makes me think of another question. Does the stress of change come primarily as a result of global factors, or is it due to more personal issues? Now, certainly global issues can affect us. Think about this pandemic we're in right now. Clearly, that's a global issue, and it does affect and change our lives. But typically, the bulk of stress that we experience comes from personal issues. Now, what are four ways that we can experience change in our life? Now, for explanation purposes, I'm going to answer this using career experiences as examples. You'll see what I mean in just a minute. The first way that we can experience change is when it's expected and it's welcomed. For instance, a promotion. You know it's that time. You know you're right on schedule. You've got all your ducks in a row, and it's expected and welcomed. You're promoted. The next is when it's unexpected and welcomed. For instance, maybe you get a mid-year promotion or a mid-year pay raise, something that's unexpected. It's off cycle. It's welcomed, but again, unexpected. Now, the third way we can experience change is when it's expected, but it's unwelcomed. For instance, a downsizing in your company. And the last or the fourth way we can experience change in our lives is when it's unexpected and unwelcomed. In other words, you might have gone through a sudden termination, which is clearly unexpected and unwelcomed. I had that happen to me, so I know what that's all about. Perhaps you have as well. So let's identify with the story a little bit more. Question for you. If you were required to relocate to another city, what or who would be your top three things that you'd miss about your present community? Now, many of us have gone through this before, and so we've experienced it, but I'd like to know what you think. If you're required to relocate to another city, what are your top three things or people that you'd miss the most? Would it be maybe family? Would it be the climate? How about your job itself? Or would it be maybe your child's school? Could be your home? Maybe your church? How about those favorite restaurants? Maybe your friends? Maybe the neighborhood in which you live? Perhaps recreation or cultural activities? Or maybe there's something else in your top three things that you would miss if you had to relocate suddenly. Well, I would definitely miss our family. Our kids are grown. Our oldest is married and they live not 15 minutes from us. We've got six grandchildren with them. And our other son is in the military. So they're grown. They're not little. And so if we moved, they would not be moving with us. I'd definitely miss them. And I'd also miss our church family, no question about it. The friendships we have, the relationships we have, definitely would miss that. And this may sound a little strange to you, but I'd miss our home. We live in a home that it was our first home that we've ever bought. It's about 30 years ago that we did that, and I would miss that. There's a lot of things that have happened here, a lot of growth that's happened here. As a matter of fact, our church started here. Our Word of Hope Christian Church started in this home, so I would definitely miss it for sure. Brings me to another question. Considering that last question, what or who would you miss the least? Those were the top three things you missed the most. Well, who or what would you miss the least? You know, strangely enough, it's not a who for me. It's a what. Because in the last 30 years, there has been so much road construction in and around the greater Converse area, which is northeast of San Antonio. And in San Antonio itself, it just seems like we don't have a week when there isn't something going on. And I will not miss the road construction, whether it's on 1604 or 410 or I-10 or 281, it doesn't matter. I will not miss that for sure. Here's another question. Thinking back to the four ways that we experience change in our lives, in which have you most recently experienced change? Would it be when that change is expected and welcomed? Would it be when it's unexpected and welcomed? Would it be when it's expected and unwelcomed? Or would it be when it's unexpected and unwelcomed? Change that you've most recently experienced, what category would that be? For me, definitely D, unexpected and unwelcomed. And the change was definitely in that category for sure. Perhaps we've all gone through that. In today's study, we're talking about God saying to Abram, I'm going to change your circumstance. I need you to pick up everything and go there. I'm not going to tell you where, just go there. I originally saw a bumper sticker that said, change is good, you go first. Have you seen that one? That's a hoot, really. But it's a great reflection of our attitude about change. Change is good as long as it happens to somebody else and it doesn't hinder our agenda. You know, regardless of how we feel about it, change never goes away. It's an ironic statement that says, change is the only constant. Perhaps you've heard that. The only constant is change. It's true in life. It's true, every breathing person on the planet goes through this, regardless of your status or your position or power or wealth or belief system. And Christians have got to deal with that as well. And with that in mind, what are some of the arenas or categories where we can experience change? Now, this might be a little more difficult. It took me a while to grab a hold of this one. Some of those arenas are what I would call first life cycle changes. These are things like graduation, leaving home, marriage, pregnancy, birth, parenting children through their various developmental stages, the empty nesting, aging parents, retirement, deaths of parents, deaths of a spouse, just to name a few, those things that change our life cycle. Then there's things like vocational changes, things that happen regarding our work or how we provide a living, things like promotion, career change, change of responsibilities, maybe a job transfer, downsizing, mergers, firing. Then there can be things like relationship changes, another arena. Things like engagement, marriage, separation, divorce, reconciliation, remarriage, blended families, role changes, parenting, empty nesting. Some of these arenas can cross over or overlap, in other words. Changes in relationship can be very subtle. Closeness and security can also increase or decrease in the relationship arena. And then there's the health change arena. Things can, whether they're short-term or long-term injuries, diseases or illnesses, which can even include emotional health. Then there's the arena of cultural change. The culture can be as large as a country, or it can be as small as a classroom. But our experience of community includes its unique culture. Culture includes things like values and norms and rules and traditions and so forth. And then there can be an arena that is dealing with financial change. And that includes the increase or decrease of your finances. Whatever the issue is, could be a number of factors that contribute to that. And lastly, there's another arena, residential changes. Again, things like changing a home, changing a neighborhood, a city, a state, even a country. You know, God told Abram to leave his country, to leave his people and his father's household with no other information, no other guarantees, not even a roadmap. He just said, go, and I'll tell you once you're on your way. Now, people often refer to a relocation as being uprooted. Have you ever heard that? We're being uprooted from one place and we're going to be put in another. Well, I did a little checking on that. You know, when a plant is separated from the soil, it's removed from its source of nourishment and its vitality is in jeopardy at that point. Now, botanists tell us that an uprooted plant goes into an organic state of shock, and as such, it does not immediately warm up to its new home when it's transplanted. Just think about this. A newly transplanted tree needs a lot of nourishment. In other words, it needs a lot of water, more than an established tree, because the roots of a transplanted tree are stuck into the ground and surrounded by dirt. And if you were to tug on one of them, it would just come right to you because it's not connected to anything. It's going to take a while for those dangling roots to grab a hold of their new surroundings. And people are just like that too. So let me ask you this. What are some of the reasons we resist change? Maybe there's an overall reason that we resist change. I don't know, but I think there can be more than one. What are some of the reasons we resist change? Well, maybe one of the most obvious is when we lose the familiar, we lose what is secure to us. Another would be the loss of control. For many of us, that's a challenge. And yet another could be the loss of identity or the loss of status or the loss of meaning. We could also resist change because of an uncertainty about the future. Clearly, we're in a time like that now. Well, in what way was Abram's move unsettling? Thinking about what we just read in that passage. How was Abram's move unsettling? I mean, Abram was told to release what was familiar, to let go of what was secure. Everything he had known, everything he understood, everything he counted on was now in his rearview mirror. And through their captivity, I was thinking about Daniel and Joseph, both experiencing losing control. Simon the fisherman, he had a great source of income as a fisherman, but then he becomes Peter, the disciple who travels around the land without a job. And then Saul, he was an ambitious, zealous persecutor of Christians, wasn't he? He became Paul, and as a result of that, a devoted apostle. Both men, Peter and Paul, experienced a very sudden transformation of identity and status. David, a shepherd boy, can you imagine this? One day he's in the field tending to the sheep, and he's called in, and he's all of a sudden learning how to prepare to become a king, to take the throne. Mary, a virgin peasant girl, was informed she's going to be the mother of the Messiah, while her fiancé Joseph was stunned with the news. And not only was he going to be a father sooner than expected, but he was actually going to be the dad who raises the Messiah. Now, complete this sentence. Not only does change bring a sense of blank, it veils the blank in mystery. Well, not only does change bring a sense of loss, it veils the future in mystery. You know, adapting to change can be like what some friends of mine recently told me, a story about how they were certified as scuba divers, told me that change is like scuba diving at night. Not only have you left the security of the boat, but with your flashlight, you can only see a few feet in front of you. And so you don't have the security of where you are. You can't see where you are. And although the ocean, as they told me, takes on this entirely new brilliance when you have a flashlight in the ocean, most secure day divers can't cope with the limited visibility of night diving. And that led me to another question. What are two positive things that change can potentially promote? Change could be a good thing. And there's a couple of things that maybe you'll think about that are positive in this. Well, here's what I think. Change always has the potential to spark growth because it introduces new challenges and new opportunities. It's at the crossroads of change where we typically grow the most. The new and different circumstances demand a new and different response, and even demand a new and different us. Change is like the gorilla that gets on the bus and wants your seat. Staying where you're seated is not going to be an option if that happened. Change has the potential to grow our character and our relationships. It has the opportunity to enhance our skills and to open up brand new opportunities. How we respond to change is really crucial. You know, in the Old Testament, Joseph is the example of a courageous and faith-filled adaptation to change. Change comes to us like a new coach who demands something extra, something more. Some respond to the demands of that new coach and become champions. Some become prideful and they refuse to accept or adapt to that change. And so they're less than successful. You know, we can either view change as a threat or as a tool to seize and use for our own development. We can either interpret change as the closing of a favored door, or we can recognize change as the doorman of new opportunities. Now, here's another positive thing that often forces our dependence on God. Change can force our dependence on God. At least it should. When things around us are in flux, when things are topsy-turvy, there's just no order, they're upside down, we search for something steady. We're looking for something that's reliable. And when we're caught in a swift and swirling current of life, we feel like we're going to sink. We're looking for that anchor to hold on to, aren't we? Change makes us cling and tighten our grip on God. At least it should. Just as we white-knuckle the steering wheel and press our face to the glass of our windshield when we're driving in blizzard conditions or driving rain. Sameness has the way of breeding complacency and self-sufficiency, but change, it throws us off balance. And when we're about to fall off the log into the water, we grasp ourselves. That's not going to stop us from falling. It's not going to delay the inevitable, much less prevent it. Instead, we've got to hold tightly to God, like a person who grips the handrail on an icy stairwell. A little earlier, I asked you the question, what are some of the arenas in which we experience change? And I named seven of them that might take place. They included life cycle, vocational, relational, health, cultural, financial, and residential. So with a slightly different take on that question, in which area of your life have you experienced the most change recently? Would it have been the arena of life cycle or vocational? Did you experience the most change recently in a relational atmosphere or health? Or cultural, or financial, or residential? What was it for you? For me, I would say that the area I've experienced the most change in recently would be health. But some of those other arenas are very close around that as well, perhaps for you too. Now, I have mentioned some Bible characters a few minutes ago. What are some Bible characters that I might have mentioned, or maybe I didn't mention? Maybe you have some other Bible characters in mind that were called upon or forced to adapt to change. Can you think of a few? Who would you most identify with? Well, one of the Bible characters I identify with is Joseph, one of my favorite Bible characters of all time. He's an example of a courageous and faith-filled adaptation to change. And what I admire about him is that no matter what situation he found himself in, whether he was in a pit, whether he was sold into slavery, whether he was in jail for a false accusation, No matter where he found himself, it didn't change who he was. He always called on the Lord. He always sought the Lord for that rock, that anchor in his life, because the Lord never changes. Another character I identify with is David. As a shepherd boy, he's summoned from the field to prepare to take the king's throne. Are you kidding me? In a very small way, it's very similar to me having been working at Walmart and all of a sudden one day being called to come pastor and preach at a church. Now, as we deal with the inevitable stress of change in our lives, how are we going to do that? We're going to deal with some life change goals to keep in mind as we continue the journey on reducing the stress in our lives, particularly reducing the stress of change. The first is anticipate change without becoming a blank. Now, I'll help you fill that in just a minute. Anticipate change without becoming a blank. That's your first life change goal. Now, as I said earlier, the phrase change is the only constant is pretty common. Expecting life not to change is like insisting that your two-year-old child sit still and not move around. You know, there was an Indianapolis 500 driver who recently remarked, when you're going 200 miles per hour, you're covering a football field every second. You have to know where you're going before you get there. You know, that's a great description for how businesses must recognize trends and foresee change. But that is not a good idea to follow in our personal lives, folks. It's just not. To anticipate change does not mean that you need to be a weather forecaster. But what it does mean is that you keep an umbrella in your car, because in the summer, there can be a stray thundershower that pops up, and it's always possible, so you need to have an umbrella in the car. Life is notoriously unpredictable and consequently very exciting, at least some of the time for us. So to complete the opening sentence, anticipate change without becoming a pessimist, all right? Now, the second life change goal is accept change without becoming blank. Someone has said, the bend in the road is not the end of the road unless you fail to make the curve. Wow, that is true. If anticipating change means being aware of coming waves, then adapting to change means riding the waves. The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 4, verses 11 and 13, not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. And then in verse 13, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Paul finds himself in a Roman prison and declares that because of his abiding relationship to the unchanging Christ, he can deal with the stressful relocation and any external changes in his life. Now listen to what Paul says again as he addresses the Philippians regarding their response to change in Philippians 1:27. Paul says, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Another way to say the words above all is regardless of coming changes. Now substitute that into that scripture I just read. It says, regardless of the coming changes, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. So to complete the sentence of this goal, accept change without becoming bitter. The first goal is anticipate change without becoming a pessimist. This goal is accept change without becoming bitter. And the last and third life goal change is cling to blank during times of blank. You know, most seven-year-old children, they can fearlessly speed down hills on bicycles and rollerblades. They crash into each other on soccer fields. They defend the world against video game villains. And they make fun of their younger siblings' immature behavior at every opportunity. Then at night, that same seven-year-old will climb into bed and insist that his or her door remain open and clutch a teddy bear like it's a flotation device in the water. But before you laugh at that, recognize that God's children of all ages want something to cling to when they're in the dark too. Change has a way of turning the light off, and the sounds of the loss and the shadows of fear make us want to hide under the covers. Listen to David riding from the Judean desert, a detour from the familiarity and security of his beloved Jerusalem. Psalm 63, verses 7 and 8. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. your right hand upholds me. Amen to that. So, to complete the sentence for this goal, cling to God in times of change. And there's two ways you can do that. Cling like a vine. Have you ever seen a vine grow? Do you know that during a storm, a vine will actually strengthen its grip on the tree that it surrounds? In other words, rehearse the promises of God and grip the presence of God in prayer and worship. Another way to cling to God in times of change is to cling like a mountain climber. Ascending a steep cliff, the seasoned climber applies a firm grip with his hands or her toes or fingers and presses his or her body against the face of the mountain. In other words, stay very close to God and hold on tight during the steep climbs of change. So anticipate change without becoming a pessimist. Accept change without becoming bitter. Cling to God in times of change. I hope those steps will help you as you journey to address the issue of change in your life. I hope that this study has been encouraging to you today. That's all the time we have to talk about the stress of change. I hope it has been beneficial. I hope it's made you come face to face with some things, as it has for me. But ultimately, I hope it draws you closer to the Lord. Now, we'll be back here next week, same bat time, same bat channel, for the opportunity to talk about another avenue of stress and finding contentment in stressful times. We're going to talk about the stress of unfulfilled expectations. Man, that is something that I can't wait to get into with you. Until then, please take care. God bless you. Thanks for praying for us. We'll continue to pray for you. I hope that you stay safe and stay healthy. God bless you. Go in peace.